Well, we're back in the book of Mark, so turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 20 this morning. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, a very familiar passage that has been used in many different ways, but a passage that I think is crucial for us as we look at how God works among his children. Mark 5, verses 1 through 20. We saw at the end of chapter 4 a couple weeks ago that the disciples were brought to the fear of the Lord by the power of the Lord, leading them through conflict, leading them through the storm on the Lake of Galilee, leading them to that fear of God because of his calmness to make them calm. Their fear of the world had momentarily outweighed their fear of the Lord. The knowledge and wisdom that Jesus had been pouring into them, even at these early stages of his teaching. Just like us, we find ourselves confronted with, when we find ourselves confronted with the worst of our fears, we often retreat into ourselves, or we seek to blame others, or even worse, we want to blame God for the situation. Because we fear adversity and crisis. But think about it this way. The tree that grows in a storm-ridden area, almost to the point of breaking, actually becomes stronger than the tree that grows in the valley, a quiet valley. The same is true for our life, in the Christian life. The greatest character is grown in hardship. That's why God often leads us through the storms of life, through the valleys of the shadow of death. By doing this, he reminds us who he is. Remember, I've said before, the number one question in Mark, in my opinion, is the question that Jesus asks Peter. Who do you say that I am? Here we see who Jesus is. He is God. He is the Messiah. He is the Redeemer. And above, maybe above all of that, he is the King. He reigns over the forces of nature, over the chaos, and even over the power of this demon-possessed man, in which seems to have dwelt many, many demons that made him so strong that no man could handle him. This is perhaps the most detailed account of a demon-possessed person in the Bible. So today we'll look at this man who calls himself Legion and his encounter with Jesus, the King, and the impact it has on the church. Now, as different as he might be perceived, he is not so different from us. In the end, he is not that different from us before we were saved. We may not be demon-possessed. We may not have Hulk-like strength. But prior to salvation, we are all ruled by our trespasses and sin. Hence, we are an abomination to God. Paul tells us that in Ephesians 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So Legion is special on one sense, but really not so special. So let's look at the impact of Legion on God's kingdom. Read with me Mark 5, verses 1 through 20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he, that is Jesus, was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. But the unclean spirits came out, entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. The people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. Father, as we look at your word today, for many it's a familiar story. For most, it is a truthful event. And for all, it really paints the picture of our hearts. And so, Father, we are thankful for the love that you showed to this man and the love that you showed to us. And we pray your blessing upon this time and this word in Jesus' name. Amen. We've said it over and over and over again. Jesus is the King. He is the King who comes with power and authority to repossess what is his. He has come as King with this simple message. You've heard me say it almost every week. The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. So repent and believe in the gospel. He has come to cancel the curse for all of his elect children by his blood. But he's also a force of might bringing light into the darkness of the world. So Jesus encounters Legion in that darkness. Then he delivers Legion from that darkness. Then Jesus is rejected because of Legion, and then Jesus sends Legion. Those are the four things that we'll look at in this text this morning, which will hopefully give us a new appreciation of who Jesus is. Mark is building up to chapter 8 where that question exists so that we can answer that question beyond the shadow of a doubt, solidifying who Christ is that we might grow in the fear of the Lord, just like the disciples. So let's start with Jesus' encounter with Legion, verses 1 through 6. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles into pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. He was a demon-possessed man. Luke gives us a little bit more description about this demon-possessed man. He had been this way for a long time, Luke tells us, obviously, because he doesn't even know his name anymore. Luke tells us that he is naked and lived like an animal among the tombs, continually unclean and vile. And he seemingly had supernatural strength. Think of the Hulk. Could break chains, could break shackles. No man could subdue him any longer. Obviously, there had been a time when that wasn't the case. But any longer. He was a pawn of evil. He didn't have any control over himself. Legion was a total slave to his depravity. To many, he seemed incurable. To suffer in helplessness, anguish, despair, utterly alone and isolated from family and friends, from the rest of humanity. And this is just a snapshot of the person and the pain of who called himself Legion. And interestingly enough, this is the first person that meets Jesus as he steps out of the boat onto this country of the Gerasenes. Gentile nation, Gentile country, Decapolis area, multiple Gentiles lived there, mixed Jewish races lived there. But he was the first one that encountered him when he had stopped the storm, when he had showed and revealed the fear of the Lord to the apostles, the first one to come to him on the seashore, and the only one. For that was who Jesus came for, this one named Legion. His people will be brought to faith, no matter where they come from, no matter what they're in the midst of. Now, the pigs get caught in the middle, and we'll talk a little bit more about them, but that lets you know as well that they were a Gentile people, because the Jews, of course, didn't mess with pigs. But his depravity, Jesus is confronted with his depravity. He speaks and sees this vile creature coming before him. And he's confronted with that as soon as he walks off the boat. How much depravity is Jesus confronted with every day? Oh, we think it's all out there. But what about the depravity that's still within our heart? What about the sin that continues to bubble up day by day? As we call ourselves a Christian, as we seek to live that Christian life, that sin finds us. We are legion. Even in our redeemed sense, there is a sense that fallen nature within us still complicates life at the best and causes momentary despair at worst. But this is the one who came to Jesus. We don't think of ourselves like legion because we're all dressed up. We are in a clean place. The air conditioner is running now. We smell good, look good, and we're glad to be together. Nobody wanted to be around Legion. Some of us in here have known people like that. Some of us have been people like that. Legion is us. We look at people. We look at people like Legion, and we obviously say, well, they need Jesus. We don't. We've got it covered. We're too comfortable where we are sometimes. But while we may not look as bad, we are ever so bad if we're not a Christian today. As far as God is concerned, we are classified as children of disobedience, as children of wrath. Paul even says so to the Colossians, once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. Paul continues to remind us who we were. Whenever we start feeling good about ourselves, all you got to do is pick up a letter of Paul, because he will tell you pretty quickly just how bad we are. Almost seems to delight in that, because it reminds him of himself and how thankful he is for the saving work of Christ. We would never consider ourselves demon-possessed, but our actions reflect the very same sins, the same depravity, even with different actions than his. But it's clear this one who is so physically strong and is so mentally deranged and so emotionally evil was drawn to Jesus. It's not something he would have decided on his own. He was drawn to Jesus like the leper who broke protocol. This demon-possessed man was drawn to Jesus. In the midst of who he was, we see that change beginning to happen. Because he wouldn't have come to Christ on his own. He didn't come to people as a rule. He hid from people. And yet here he is drawn to Christ. Drawn to Christ and yet fighting against Christ. Sort of like drawing a bucket up a well that rubs across the wall of the well, the friction that's caused. But he comes. He comes to Jesus. In his troubled mind, he couldn't have determined, but he knew there was something drawing him. That something is the power of God to deliver him in the same way we were delivered by Jesus' power. That's what we see next is that Jesus actually delivers Legion, verses 7 through 13. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he, that is Jesus, was saying to him, from the moment he gets out of the boat, is the indication here, is that Jesus was saying, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asks him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there in the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us into the pigs. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herds, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. Interesting how by being drawn to Jesus caused two apparent contradictions. As I said before, on one hand, he runs, he falls down almost in worship to God. But on the other hand, the demons within him are pressing to say, "What's going on? What have you to do with me?" He wants to be in Jesus' presence. He'll go so far as to say, "Don't take me out of this country." He wants to be there, yet at the same time, "What are you going to do to me? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. I make a formal request." Remember, this guy's out of his mind. Or he was. "I make a formal request that you, Christ, no longer torment me. I make a formal request that you solemnly and earnestly do whatever it is you're going to do. Get it over with. This man who was out of his mind made a request because we see his spirit already being changed. Jesus' presence had already begun to change him and changing him by the power of God, of Christ. Get it over with. Get it done. One would think that this much need would be simple to seek Jesus' deliverance. You know, we live in a church that talks about how we choose to become Christians. We seek to become Christians. There's a seeker-sensitive nature of people by general. They seek the Lord on their own. Well, none of that's true, of course. Legion shows us quite clearly that none of that's true. And thinking that only reveals our lack of understanding of the depraved human heart. The scriptures make it abundantly clear that no man could come to Jesus on his own. No man yields to Jesus. Depravity means just that. Depravity. Dead in our sins. Nothing dead can request anything. Only that which has been made alive can request. Respond to the nature of Jesus Christ. On our own, we can do nothing acceptable to God. We see Jesus' compassion towards this man when he says, "What is your name?" Legion answers him. Now remember, he doesn't talk to people. He fights with people. He screams, hollers, and cries and cuts himself, but we don't see him in any nature talking to anyone, but he talks to Jesus. Something about that personal connection, about what is your name? We all want to be known by our name. Well, he says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He's been so tied up with these evil spirits, as I said before, he doesn't even know his name. Jesus, however, gets this man. One that no one else could restrain, no one else could talk to. These two are carrying on a conversation because Jesus has drawn him to himself. The man recognizes being drawn to him, responds accordingly, requests from him. And Jesus has already resolved to deliver him. The man knows it. That's why he wants to stay with Christ. But the demons, on the other hand, they know they're defeated. 2,000 pigs are sitting over there just off to the side. And what do? The demons, that is. They asked permission. Permission from whom? The King of the universe. They knew who he was. The Son of God. The Son of the Most High. They asked permission because they were defeated. And Jesus grants grants them his permission. And with that, the pigs make a beeline down a steep slope and drown themselves. Now, I don't know how many of you know much about pigs, but they're pretty smart critters. They also know how to swim. And yet, because of the demons being within them, confusing everything about that, they made a beeline to get rid of the pain, the struggle, all of that, to drown themselves. Sort of showing us, even in a major way, some of what Christ, our God, has promised us in the Old Testament. Micah 7:19 says, "He will again have compassion on us." What is your name? He will tread our inequities under his foot. He will throw our transgressions where? Into the depth of the sea. They were defeated. The King has come. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. So repent, Legion did. Legion's story is our story. None of us are capable of breaking the power of our depravity. Only Christ can do that. and even one man's soul is more valuable than 2,000 pigs, even though, as we will see in a minute, the people of the city didn't think so. So we have seen the need of the man called Legion, and we have seen Jesus' deliverance. Now we see how Jesus is rejected because of Legion, verses 14 through 17. The herdsmen fled and told in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened, and they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man and one who had had the legion sitting there clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And then they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. It seems always interesting to me how people are happier with the enemy they know than the unknown. You would have thought that people would have been grateful that a threat had been neutralized, that one from their city had come back to become normal again. You would have thought. But 2,000 pigs, I mean, come on, that's a lot of money. What were they afraid of? That Jesus would turn them into believers as well, and that they'd give up their pigs? I'm not exactly sure, but they were fearful. Not in a good way. Their response was wrong. They, like the demons, begged Jesus to do something. And Jesus was willing to accommodate them, for he had saved the one he had come for. He had done what he had come to do. As I said before, his people will come from every nation, tongue, and tribe. The man who had been a legion is found sitting at Jesus' feet, learning, thankful, while the people were begging him to go. They had nothing to gain by him staying. But there's one last thing, verses 18 through 20. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. He did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Then he went away, began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Of the three times that we see the word begged used in this passage, we see a correct response here, an appropriate desire, the desire of a true convert to stay with Jesus. He longed to stay in Jesus' presence, wouldn't you? If you've been saved from such a life, wouldn't you want to hang out with the guy who did it? So it makes sense. But Jesus did not grant him permission to stay with him. He wanted him to stay in the Decapolis to spread the gospel, the good news of Christ. After all, he was a known identity there. There were family, there were friends. He was from that region, so somebody would have known his name. Can you imagine the impact of his conversion story? In fact, by the time we get to Mark chapter 7, when Jesus comes back to the Decapolis, the people aren't sending him away anymore. They're bringing a deaf and a mute to him to be healed because they recognize the power of the gospel within Christ because they heard it from one of their own. Jesus knew he wouldn't be able to do it in the course of men, but as God does, he made Legion the instrument of his grace, just like he does us. That's why another reason why Legion is just like us. Saved by grace from the most vile life, to be sent to proclaim the gospel, starting with our families and then going out from there. That's the reality. No demon can overcome that. Nobody can overcome the call of Christ. We are to learn from this as well. Jesus' refusal to his followers are always because he has a better, a bigger plan in mind. So you have been set free from sin. So what? What do you do now? Again, Mark's gospel is one of the simplest ones for us to understand. The dictation is go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. Go home and tell them how he has had mercy on you. Home being your family, your friends, and then your neighbors. Home is where we are planted that we might be a blessing to those around us. You know, as much stress that's placed on names in Scripture, we come away from this story never knowing Legion's real name. This is a man who was dramatically saved. This was a man who was dramatically sent out to his people. But we never know his name. Can you imagine what Legion's response was? My name is not important. I've come to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. I live in his name. Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. Legion's message is the message for the church. Pray with me. Father, this day we're grateful for how you continue to grant us grace and strength and deliverance over and over and over again. We let our sin grant and take over us all too often. And yet you continue to release us, to deliver us, to strengthen us, to enable us to be a blessing. And when we say we can't give a gospel presentation, all you're asking for is our testimony to what you've done in our lives and the mercies that you showed to us. That's the best gospel presentation we can have. And we thank you, Father, for this in Jesus' name. Amen.